Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior year shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. Treehouse is certainly an unusual name for a community, an intergenerational community in particular. Yet when you hear Judy Cockerton, founder of the community in Massachusetts devoted to caring for foster children and adoptive families, explain why she chose it, it makes all the sense in the world. After all, isn't a treehouse a place to gather with friends and find a new perspective? The following three articles, two from the Treehouse Foundation, Our Mission and an Intergenerational Community, and a third from the Boston Globe, Brian McQuarrie's December 2015 in East Hampton Village, Everyone Helps the Children. They tell the story. And we begin with our story, the genesis of Treehouse. One evening in the fall of 1998, my husband handed me a newspaper article as our family was finishing dinner. "I think you'll find this interesting," he said. Our children by birth, ages 12 and 18, were gathering up their plates as I read a story about a five-month-old boy who was kidnapped from his crib while taking an afternoon nap in his foster home. At the time, I owned two award-winning specialty toy stores in Massachusetts, fabulous family resources that I had spent 16 years building up and where I imagined I would be working when I became a grandmother. I had been a teacher for 10 years before purchasing my first store called No Kidding, located in Brookline, Massachusetts, a wealthy suburb of Boston. I finished reading the article and called my family back to the dining room table to talk about what I had just read. We discussed the fact that when children are removed from their homes and placed in our public foster care system, we are all responsible for their health and well-being. We talked about the stigma and invisibility of youngsters who experience foster care. We considered new child welfare approaches. Our conversation led us to the conclusion that we had the resources, expertise, and desire to be of service to children and youth placed in foster care. We decided to call the Massachusetts Department of Children and Families and sign up to become a foster family. On May 11, 1999, the morning after my husband and I completed our MAPP training courses, I received a call from No Kidding, from a lovely social worker. She said, "We have two sisters, ages 5 months and 17 months. Would you take them into your home?" I made a quick call to my partner of 27 years. He said, "Yes." When I shared the good news with the social worker, she said, "We'll be at your house in 2 hours." I quickly made arrangements to pick up our 12-year-old daughter from school. Then we went to Toys R Us to purchase car seats, beds, high chairs, diapers, and other infant and toddler accoutrements. We drove into our driveway, opened the car doors, and turned to see our social worker's car with two beautiful little girls in the back seat. This was the moment I met our youngest daughter and her big sister, two of a sibling group of six. This is our birth story. With a five-month-old on one hip and a 17-month-old on the other, I entered the world of child welfare. I was 48 years old. The first thing that hit me was the lack of resources. It was palpable. As I scanned the landscape dedicated to the welfare of children who have been removed from their homes and families and are in need of the best enrichment services our society has to offer, I found it was devoid of color, joy, opportunity, and people. I saw a core of dedicated child welfare professionals. I met foster, guardianship, birth, kinship, pre-adoptive, and adoptive parents. What I didn't see was a core of citizens actively pouring their time and energy into a very under-resourced department of children and families. It seemed that all of the people, idea, and dollar resources that my children, by birth, and their peers received on a daily basis was non-existent. Today, the Treehouse community is home to just over 100 individuals. Many have been living in the community since it opened in 2006. When people visit the community, they are awed and inspired to see a vision that has become a reality and to realize the community's role in re-envisioning foster care and expanding investment and engagement in supporting children. On a daily basis, you can see and feel the impact of community connectedness and respect. What's in a name? People always ask where the name Treehouse comes from. I love treehouses. They represent a childhood icon that brings a smile to the young and young at heart. A treehouse is a place you climb up into, a place where you can find a new perspective, a more expansive view. It's a place where you gather with friends, feeling safe and cozy, a place where you can imagine something new. That safe, cozy feeling is what those of us who live and work at Treehouse strive to create. Since June of 2006, over 100 people, ranging in age from 3 to 94, have been living, working, and playing on Treehouse Circle. Together, we are building a new kind of community, one that recognizes that what all children need is safety, stability, and a loving home, to be rooted in family and community. Treehouse is a neighborhood built around the concepts of belonging, thriving, and trust. The Treehouse Foundation knows that we must provide all children and youth placed in foster care with a stable and loving family, an engaged and supportive community, and opportunities to soar. A vital living opportunity and community connects all ages. Treehouse is the community that includes 12 family homes with 3, 4, or 5 bedrooms and 48 one-bedroom cottages designed for seniors. The community has been carefully laid out to ensure that families and seniors are interspersed around Treehouse Circle, with the community center being a central gathering space. Seniors in the community are largely drawn here because they want to contribute and be part of a vibrant community. They bring a vast array of life experience, knowledge, and talents that they share with each other and with the families and children. Families receive ongoing support in an engaged community where people invest in one another's lives daily, a neighborhood where we ask questions like, what does it take to help a youngster who has experienced foster care to flourish? What does it take to inspire a community to invest in its most vulnerable children? This year, Treehouse seniors have donated over 600 hours supporting children and families at Treehouse. They have provided respite, transportation, taught cooking, and been supportive honorary grandparents in a variety of ways with children and youth. Over 100 people, ranging from 3 to 94, live in the circle. The 6 staff members working on-site collaborate to bring people together so that they can get to know one another and form trusting relationships, the foundation for long-term engagement. As Treehouse community members gather in the community center, community garden, on the back patio, for picnics and barbecues, to spend time painting, cooking, hiking, riding bikes, and participating in activities, connections are formed. Treehouse is a community in which a child walking down the street is recognized and greeted by almost everyone on Treehouse Circle. It is a community where parents can partner with staff and neighbors to support a child, and where children can participate in a variety of activities that support their growth and well-being. It is a caring community across generations. This from Harold G. Grobenant, Ph.D. Treehouse is a vibrant community in which our knowledge about what children need for healthy futures is applied every day. Treehouse programs are exciting, bold, and transformative, and I am very pleased that our Rudd Adoption Research Program has chosen Treehouse for one of its initial community partnerships. Harold Grobenant holds the Rudd Family Foundation Chair in Psychology at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. His research focuses on relationships in adoptive families and on identity development in adolescents and young adults. At Treehouse, children whose lives have been impacted by foster care are being surrounded by people of all ages who care about them and are actively investing in their lives. Families, friends, and neighborhood full of people celebrating life together. That's the big idea behind the Treehouse community. What we're finding is that it's not just the kids who benefit from living at Treehouse. The lives of adults who live, work, and volunteer at Treehouse Circle are also being enriched as well. We all spend time together rowing on the Connecticut River, working in our community garden, gathering for writing classes, doing yoga, taking dance classes, sharing meals at soup tasting and Treehouse Tea, going out to enjoy local performances, taking care of the horses at Blue Star Equiculture, and enjoying each other's company at the cafe. Over the past 5 years, the Treehouse community has received attention from all across the country. We've had many visitors. In the spring of 2011, Bridge Meadows, a Treehouse-inspired community, opened in Portland, Oregon. Professionals in the fields of elder care, housing, education, and child welfare are interested in learning more about the Treehouse approach. Harry Spence, former commissioner of the state's Department of Children and Families, said Treehouse is a crucial experiment that could also generate ideas about how to help foster children in conventional neighborhoods. And now Brian McQuarrie's Boston Globe. In East Hampton Village, everyone helps the children. The 5-year-old boy in the green shirt with "cool little bro" written across the chest had just thumped 81-year-old Mary Steele in the nose with a balloon. Steele, who was babysitting the excited child for his foster mother, stopped fast and flashed a look of mock surprise. "Now you have to give me a kiss right on the nose," Steele said. The boy, clearly happy, did not consider this a chore. Laughter and smiles have not come easily to the child, who was removed from his biological parents a year ago because of domestic violence and substance abuse. But now, engaged and embraced, he is part of a pioneering social project called the Treehouse Community, a 60-home village built from scratch nearly a decade ago in a broad former meadow near Mount Tom. It's an uncommon place where once traumatized children are raised in a quiet neighborhood where the special needs of foster and adoptive families are supported and understood. It's also a place where dozens of elderly residents have moved specifically to help these families in simple but critical ways, by walking children to school, by babysitting to give stressed parents a break, and to savor the simple pleasures of joining a community where their help and life experience are appreciated. "This gives me an opportunity to serve," said Steele, who'd been a social worker in Oklahoma before she moved to Treehouse in 2007. "To me, life has meaning and purpose. This is the continuation of a vocation." Outside her brightly colored cottage, a small sign greets passersby with this simple message: "We love our children." The sign captures something about the Treehouse community, its aspiration to a hard-to-come-by small-town ideal. Nearly everyone knows one another at Treehouse, and all of the residents, parents, biological children, and the elderly are encouraged to contribute to the mission, which is to give foster and adopted children a lasting sense of family and the tools to make a good on life when they move out on their own. Since Treehouse opened in 2006, a total of 61 children have arrived directly from foster care or with adoptive families. None of them have dropped out of school. There have been no teenage pregnancies, and all 16 children who applied for college have been accepted. "This is a little utopia," said Sandra Rubio, who lives at Treehouse with 3 adopted girls. "It's whatever you want it to be." From the beginning, when Judy Cockerton embarked on the complex journey to create Treehouse, in which she learned as she went, creating a nonprofit organization, seeking a site, finding an affordable housing partner, and searching for child welfare services that the Treehouse community would need. It takes a while for people to wrap their heads around this idea, said Cockerton, who serves as chief executive officer of the Treehouse Foundation. It's an idea that Treehouse officials would like to replicate. Nearly 30,000 young adults in the United States age out of the foster care system each year, and their lives afterwards are often difficult. Cockerton's inspiration came from Hope Meadows, an adoptive Illinois community where seniors also live. What has emerged here, 15 miles north of Springfield, Cockerton believes, is the only development of its kind in the Northeast that mixes adoptive and foster families with the elderly. An almost $16 million project was designed by Beacon Communities, a Boston-based developer of affordable housing, with input from the City of East Hampton, the state, and conservation agencies. Berkshire Children and Families, a social service organization, has two staff members on site who provide mental health and parenting support. Educational partnerships have been formed with schools and cultural groups. Beacon owns and manages the property, which was built in a former hayfield after investors, donors, grants, and state and federal tax credits helped make the dream a reality. Families who apply for housing are rigorously vetted by Treehouse managers. The path to these connections was jump-started in 2002 when Cockerton asked for a meeting with Lewis Harry Spence, the commissioner of the State Department of Social Services, who steered Cockerton to Beacon Communities. I just thought the opportunity for a community of people who share a commitment to the parenting of adoptive children could be enormously valuable, said Spence, who is the state's trial court administrator. I think that can make the difference between a successful and a failed adoption. One measure of success that Treehouse attracts residents of differing incomes as well as age. Aided by tax credits, half of the 12 homes for adoptive families are reserved for households that make less than $56,700. The 48 cottages for residents 55 and older go to singles or couples with incomes less than $42,000. The growing pains have been few, Cockerton said, but a foster parent who worked off-site as a teacher was charged in 2007 in a child pornography case. The foster child, who was not involved in the case, was removed from his custody. No child at Treehouse was harmed, Cockerton said. Adults come to the Treehouse full of idealism and hope. Children come from another place. All the adopted or foster children here have serious emotional or physical needs. Many were abused by their biological parents or in previous foster homes. And reunification with their mothers and fathers, the primary goal of foster care system, has been deemed unworkable or impossible. Treehouse is their safe haven. With 106 residents spread among duplexes for adoptive families and farm-style cottages for seniors, the homes, all rentals, are clustered amid 17 acres of green open space. The residences are angled toward others to encourage interaction. There are two playgrounds, 32 dogs, and small buses that link residents with the Pioneer Valley and beyond. Doors are often unlocked, and children visit the homes of elderly neighbors just to chat or to borrow a sweater. The community center, a gathering place that holds a kitchen, library, post office, and all-purpose room, is a beehive of activity that ranges from tutoring to parenting, advice, and to holiday parties. I knew I was searching for community. This is the community for me. This is family, said Pam Hansen, 70, who crisscrosses the village in a motorized wheelchair. Hansen moved here from central Massachusetts after a teaching career because she missed the interaction with children and wanted to feel productive. There is an innate kindness and respectfulness that you just don't see anywhere, Hansen said. I fell in love with the place, not just the physical place, but the idea of being older but not yet dead, she added, chuckling. Rosa Young, 71, drove here from her family cabin in Michigan 9 years ago after she heard about Treehouse on National Public Radio. I just didn't like the idea of not having children around, said Young, who has been a director of homeless services for the Massachusetts Department of Mental Health before she retired and moved back to the Midwest. Young helped a Treehouse family with two biological children and three adopted siblings, driving them to school on some days and babysitting on Fridays to give their parents, Allison Plummer and Wendy Gannett, a night on the town by themselves. Before connecting with Plummer and Gannett, the adopted siblings had meandered through foster care after being taken from their biological home. The children had been severely underfed and appeared to have been physically abused. One of the siblings weighed 35 pounds at age 7, after 12 foster homes in 2 years, when Plummer and Gannett began caring for them. Young, for her part, followed a recipe for dealing with the efforts of their trauma: being predictable and kind and saying yes as often as I can. Plummer and Gannett reciprocated her thoughtfulness in many ways, including accompanying Young to chemotherapy appointments for breast cancer 2 years ago. Another neighbor, 80-year-old Gloria LaFlamme, moved to Treehouse from North Adams, not quite sure what to expect and not quite sure how she could help. The retired nurse had no previous experience with foster children. Enter Ashlyn and Eliana, now 11 and 9, who needed transportation to weekly therapy sessions while their adoptive mother, Sandra Rubio, worked a dozen miles away in Westfield. The family faced a scheduling gap between Sandra's husband, Angel, his work at night in food service in Amherst College. LaFlamme's contribution, making the 35-minute drive each way to therapy, brought mutual benefits. The girls did not make a fuss when LaFlamme asked to listen to classical music, and updates from Ashlyn and Eliana about their daily ups and downs provided a lift and focus for LaFlamme. The state placed the girls with Sandra Rubio when she was living in a tough Holyoke neighborhood scarred by crime and drugs. First came Ashlyn, an emergency placement whom Sandra agreed to take for a weekend. "Monday morning never came," Sandra recalled with a smile. "Ashlyn never left." Gradually, the sullen girl, who did not smile or make eye contact, began to open up. Eliana arrived 2 years later in 2006, a 4-day-old infant born with drugs in her system. The girls rarely left their apartment, and they had few friends in the neighborhood. Then, 3 years ago, Sandra applied for one of the townhomes at Treehouse, and a fresh start became reality. Angel Rubio had moved in with Sandra by this time, and the pair decided to accept another foster child, Aliana's 3-week-old sister, Alexandra. Angel had not known what to expect, and he had some trepidations, but foster care became a life-changing experience for him. "All my life, I've been very irresponsible taking care of myself. But now I take care of myself because of the girls," said Angel, a quiet 36-year-old who struggles with diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and Crohn's disease. "It makes me want to stay around a little bit longer." Sometimes he is startled at who he has become, a recently married man with a ready-made family who sings children's rhymes as he works. Sandra, 41, has seen the change in her partner. "He told me, I thought this only happened in movies," she said. In September, the Rubios were awarded custody of Alexandra in a festive ceremony at Hampden Juvenile Court in Springfield. Relatives, friends, and Treehouse residents wiped away tears as First Justice Daniel Swords worked his way through the legal minutiae. Finally, with a broad smile, Swords declared the adoption final and irrevocable. Alexandra bounded up to the judge's chair, grabbed his gavel, and pounded the desk 13 loud and confident times. The Treehouse concept so far has made a small dent in a vast problem, but Cockerton has plans that go well beyond the Pioneer Valley. Discussions have been for a Treehouse neighborhood in Santa Clara County, California, where Cochrane is exploring partnerships with housing and child welfare organizations. Treehouse is also considering a community in western Boston suburbs. And a group from Atlanta visited recently to seek ideas for a development in Georgia. It is an ambitious vision fueled by a chronic need. We want to drive a change in the nation, Cochrane said. I can see a treehouse community in every state around the country. Well, as mentioned in this last article, the inspiration for Treehouse came from Hope Meadows. Families who adopt foster kids need a lot of support. In Rantoul, Illinois, families get help in a neighborhood called Hope Meadows from older adults who've moved there just for that purpose. The Gossett family has definitely benefited from this arrangement. Whitney Gossett adopted four siblings from foster care. Brothers Patrick, 13, Andrew, 12, Jeremiah, 7, and sister Bella, who is 10. It's a good thing that they all got to stay, she says. They were talking about having to split them apart and send them to different places until I told them I wanted them all. Hope Meadows, formerly Generations of Hope, was established 21 years ago to make sure that parents like Gossett wouldn't have to take that big step alone. Of the roughly 40 houses currently rented, only 10 are occupied by families who've adopted children or foster care them. The rest are occupied by older adults who get a break in rent for volunteering 6 hours a week. But a lot of them do much more than that. And it's been determined that outcomes for these seniors include, in an age group where health declines over a 5-year period, seniors at Treehouse showed little or no decline in mental, physical, or emotional health. Moreover, they showed significant improvement in other key indicators, significant increases in quality of life, self-esteem, self-satisfaction, life satisfaction, ability to live independently on fixed or decreasing incomes, reduced isolation and expanded social connections. These outcomes translate into significant cost savings associated with decreased need for costly health care and assisted living support, which might otherwise be required. Treehouse, an amazing concept, amazing people. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoyt. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for the show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoyk. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.